Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final hour on this Wednesday on New Year's Eve. Final show of 2025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are going to talk some Preds to start off hour number three. But do want to mention, the ReliQuest Bowl is underway from Tampa. Vanderbilt winning the toss and deferring. Iowa starts with the football, and I will say, after the first few plays, it looks like Vandy has come to play.
They're ready.
They look fired up, although Iowa did just run for about 9 yards on second and 15. Yeah. So we won't do play-by-play. If you want that, it's over on 94.9 The Fan with Andrew Allegretta and Norm Jordan. But before we get to the Preds, some big news for Nashville SC.
Yeah, you know, they traded Jacob Schoffelberg the other day. Sold him to LAFC for $1 million. We're finding out why. They've added another scorer. It's another young scorer. It's 21-year-old Warren Madrigal. He's from Costa Rica's top professional league, 29 goals in just over 100 games from one of their top clubs. So, you know, another example of Nashville SC getting younger and adding more. I mean, because everybody loves Schoffelberg. He had 14 goals.
Okay? Yeah.
He had 14 goals in 107 games. They need more. If you're going to play with Inter Miami, if you're going to play with Cincinnati, you're going to need more.
Right.
And so, you know, you've got Ahmed Kassem, you've got Johnny Perez, who are up-and-comers, and now you bring in Warren Madrigal on a transfer from Costa Rica. I'm going to tell you, I don't know a ton about him, what I'm reading, but I do know they consider this a significant signing.
Yeah.
And to move on from Schoffelberg, who was a fan favorite, you know, it now makes sense, because I thought that just meant they wanted Kassem and Perez on the field more. But, you know, this comes right on the heels of that. It's another big move from them, because they know they need more to be more competitive,
right,
with the upper echelon of the MLS, which is getting better.
And you've seen with Nashville SC, the step that they took with BJ Callahan was significant in year one. Yep. And you have to add more talent to that roster if you're going to compete, like you said, with a Miami. I think you saw this year when Nashville played Miami.
Yeah, they were really good.
Miami's a really good team.
Really good.
There's a reason that they're competing for championships, and this is a move for Nashville up front that can hopefully help them compete with those teams. So breaking news there, Warren Madrigal signing with Nashville SC, the corresponding move after trading Jacob Schoffelberg the other day. The Predators, they are on a 7-game road trip right now, and they have taken 2 of the first 3, beating Minnesota and Utah, falling to St. Louis. And later on today, they will take on the Vegas Golden Knights. That is a 2 o'clock puck drop and a 1 o'clock pregame show right here on 102.5 The Game. The Preds have won 11 of 16. They are back in playoff position, and it starts back in a playoff contention, I should say. They are still out of the playoffs as it stands right now. But Steven Stamkos has been the catalyst for it. 11 goals in the month of December, 6 game winners. And I heard Adam Vingan say yesterday on DVD that is tied for the most by any player in any month in NHL history.
That's a lot.
Yep.
That's a lot. And, you know, we've heard for a while now Nashville SC talking about our best players need to be our best players.
Yeah.
And we knew who that was pointed at. It's not. Oh, Iowa's on the board, 6-0.
Yes, they are.
And it's not a mystery that the Preds are winning and Steven Stamkos is scoring goals. You know, he won the game last night.
Right.
Or 2 nights ago when he scored 2 in the third period. You know, talking to him before the season, he didn't seem like the happiest guy. You know, to start the season, they didn't seem like Ryan O'Reilly said there were some really dark days here, because they were the worst team in hockey to start the year.
Yes.
They were the worst team, and they looked like
Worst team in hockey last year.
And they were hard to watch. They were boring. The seats were starting to get empty, and something clicked. I talked to Pete Weber about it. He said he just thinks that they let go of the sticks a little bit and just started to play a little bit more. I simplified a little bit more. Steven Stamkos started to move.
Yeah.
Steven Stamkos got in front. You look at where his goals are being scored. They are not on the left circle with him park taking slap shots. He is getting in front of the net.
Yeah.
He is skating, and he is scoring. And his scoring has made Luke Evangelista a better player. It's made Philip Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly. I mean, they're all racking up assists and still scoring some goals along the way. I mean, it's made everyone better. It has. And, you know, we see the difference between scoring 1 and 2 goals a game and 3, 4, and 5 goals a game.
Yes.
I mean, because that's – I haven't done the numbers in a while, but I would bet they're close to 4 goals a game over the last 15, 16 games.
I mean, that sounds about right. The games that they're winning now, it's not the 2-1 grinded outs that we saw early on in the season.
They're not relying on Saros to save their bacon and try to pull out a win. Saros actually can give up a couple goals and still win. And Tuesday night or Monday night is a perfect example.
They've only, in the month of December, they've only scored less than 3 goals. 1, 2, 4, 5 times?
How many of those have they won?
One of them.
Yep, there you go.
So, two of them, excuse me. Okay.
But still, the magic number is 3.
Right.
You score 3 or more, you've got an excellent chance to win in this
right.
league.
Right.
Or at least get a point.
When they scored 3 goals, they only lost 1 game in the month of December.
And that was
on the road in Carolina.
That's it, man. You got to put the puck in the net. And, you know, just imagine if they can get Marchessault going.
Right. So. And for the Predators, it's nice to have a little bit of hope for this team the rest of the way. You're not even halfway through the season. Nope. And to have this team back in a spot where you can feasibly say they could be right in the middle of the playoff chase when the trade deadline comes around in March, like that is exciting for this team. They're 17-17-4, and this is a really important week and a half stretch coming down the rest of this road trip.
I'll tell you what, it's a lifesaver for Barry Trotz.
Right.
Because he hung with Andrew Burnett and hung with Andrew Burnett, and everybody was like, what are you doing?
Coming back from Sweden, it felt almost inevitable that they had to make a move. And Barry Trotz stood firm. He said, I'm not going to do it yet. And pretty much since Sweden, they struggled a little bit coming back from Sweden, but pretty much since then has been this run.
Well, we said they've either got to fire the coach or they got to trade away these guys.
Right.
And we were like, but we don't know how. Well, they finally showed up and started playing. And I don't mean to put it all on the players. I'm putting it all on the players.
Yeah.
I mean, because the coach hasn't changed, all right? The players are producing. Some of the young guys, you know, Matthew Wood's been all right.
Reed Schaefer, Luke Evangelista. Yeah,
Evangelista's starting to, you know, he's getting a lot of assists, which is fine. You know, so you're still getting pucks in the net as a result of it. You're still being productive. Frankly, it's shocking. It's shocking.
I did not expect this.
No, there was no reason.
When they lost 11 of 13, it basically felt like, hey, let's just give ourselves as many chances at the ping pong balls as we can.
Yeah.
And this team has flipped a switch. The talent has always been there. It's just, could they get it all to click together?
That was what was so maddening about
it. It's like you look at the names on that roster and the pedigrees of
how are they this bad?
Right.
And how are they this boring to watch?
Yes, and now they've won 11 of 16, and they are, I believe, only 3 points back of a playoff spot with this back-to-back coming up. Vegas this afternoon, Seattle tomorrow night as part of this 7-game road trip. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to talk Preds on the other side. Quick update down there in Tampa. Iowa did go down the field and score a touchdown on the first drive. Tough. Vandy had Gronowski dead to rights for a sack. He broke it and ran for about 40 yards. Iowa scores a few plays later. But Vanderbilt is now...
They're on the move.
They are across midfield. Yep. First and 10 at the 49 early in the first. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll be right back here on Next Man Up. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly here on 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Few more segments with you here in 2025. We're going to talk some Titans at the bottom of the hour. Another update down there in Tampa. Vanderbilt had a 3rd-and-3 across midfield, and Diego Pavi got sacked.
So that was your fault.
It was. I was saying 3rd-and-3. It's 4-down territory. Maybe you take a shot. Mm. Tim Beck must have been listening. He tried to take the shot play. And
I said, I'm running the football with Pavi.
Yeah. He didn't just get sacked. He got blown up.
Yeah, he did.
Both teams are ready. I mean, both teams are ready.
Right. We mentioned the first couple plays. You could see Vanderbilt had some juice to them. Iowa has had just as much. So Iowa's got the ball up 7-0, still early on down there at the ReliaQuest Bowl. And again, coverage of that game with Andrew Allegretta, Norman Jordan, and the Vanderbilt Sports Network is over on 94.9 The Fan. Still on the Preds here. Preds, again, have won 11 of 16, and when you look at the standings, they are right back in this thing. After being in the cellar of the Central and the cellar of the Western Conference as a whole, they're right back in the thick of things. They are 3 points back of a playoff spot right now.
Wow, that is incredible.
With the game in hand against San Jose, too. So they are right there.
That's incredible.
You've got some big games coming up as they refer to them, some four-point games with Seattle and Calgary, who are... Seattle's got one more point than you. Calgary is tied with you at 38. So those are some big ones coming up over the weekend. Today you've got Vegas, and Golden Knights always going to be a tough challenge.
Yep.
Afternoon game. This back-to-back, I think it's important you got to get one. You got to be able to get 2 points here. At least one. You can't get shut out. But the rest of this road trip is important. Vanderbilt, I've said it all week while they've been on this long road trip, you just got to keep your head above water. Because
you got to keep accumulating points. You can't have where you've got like five straight games where you get no points.
Right.
I mean, it's okay to get 5 points in five games.
And
all right?
you see the next nine games coming up. Seven of them are at home, and there are some tough opponents on there. You've got to go to Colorado and to Vegas again in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You've got Edmonton coming in here. But you've also got games against Buffalo and Chicago, who has absolutely cratered in the last month or so. So the Preds, I think they've played a lot of their tough games already this season. They've played Colorado, it feels like, 4 times. Hmm. They've played the Wild on the road twice. They've already played Carolina 3 times. So the schedule is going to start to ease up a little bit. It's just important you can't have another one of those long stretches, like you said, where you fall back down and dig yourself more that you have to climb up the rest of the season.
Look, if you can get 13, 14 points on every 10 games, and there's different ways to do that math.
Yes.
All right? And, you know, you could – let's do 13 points. You could win 4.
And
–
get
five, lose five, four,
you get five overtime losses.
Yeah,
so that's probably. But or you could win.
You could win five, have three overtime losses.
Yeah, win six, have one overtime loss.
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways to get there. But if you know, you do 12, 13, 14 points every ten games.
Right.
You know that doesn't mean going 8-2. That just means you're continuing to accumulate points. And I've seen this team go long stretches of accumulating points.
Right.
And so they've just got to keep doing that. At this point, you know, are you going to lose at Colorado? Probably. But like you said, it's important the rest of the time, you know, to be accumulating points. So there are going to be stretches where you get 5 points in five games. And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. As long as you don't go 0 points in five games, that's when the problems begin. And, you know, there is more room on this team to get better.
Yes.
I mean, you know, we're talking about Stamkos because Stamkos has gone bonkers. You know, in Luke Evangelista, He's third on the team in points.
Right. Most of those are assists.
Yeah,
but
he's got 6 goals and 21 assists, but I'm going to bring him up. Marshy, he's got 10 points.
And he started off hot, too.
Seven goals, 3 assists.
He had 1 goal in the entire month of November, and I believe he only has 2 in December, maybe 3.
Yeah.
So it's you're right. Stamkos, he's not going to score 11 or 12 goals a month the rest of the season.
Maybe.
Sure. Turn back the clock, Stammer. He's not going to. You need others to be able to put the puck in the net, too.
Yeah.
It's been great to see Steven Stamkos do it because he's one of the guys who has to put it in the net, but he's not going to do it at this rate the entire season. You got to have others. You got about 20 games, a little under 20 games until the Olympic break, and I think that's – you don't have to know by then, but I think it's – you get to the point where Barry Trotz is going to have to start making some calls. And – it looked like a foregone conclusion that they were going to sell off some of the veteran pieces. Ryan O'Reilly, I think, would be the one that would fetch you the largest return. But if the Preds keep playing like this and you play your way into playoff contention, does that shift? Do you become a semi-buyer at some point? You have a lot of draft capital at your disposal. If you want to go out and get a couple extra pieces, it just becomes, what does Barry Trotz believe in with this group? And I think we're going to find out a lot over these next 17, 18 games before the Olympic break.
Well, I will always say it is important for this team to make the playoffs. Now, with their ownership now, they have more money.
That's true.
Okay, with the Haslams owning the team, they have more money than the structure they had before, where they had a number of people who were invested in making the playoffs was absolutely vital to their economy, you know, to make those
those extra home games. Yeah.
But I would still say it's probably important for this team to get to the postseason, because they need to fill the stadium. They need, you know, they need all the money they can get, you know, when you've got good young players that you want to sign. And I don't think they have any interest in not making the playoffs.
No.
Okay. So, you know, they're not one of these teams that's saying, well, we'll rebuild and, you know, we'll sell off. You know, no, they want to be in the playoffs. And, you know, I think they're finding, like, right now, hey, we play our game. If our guys show up, we can actually beat people. All right. Now, you got a long way to go, but you can get better. I think Yossi's game, you know, he appears to be getting healthier. Okay. And he had a nice goal last night.
Yep.
If he can get more on tracks, and you got Perbix, and who's the other big defenseman they brought in?
Hague.
Is he back yet?
Yes.
Okay. You know, because I know they had some injuries there. There's room for this team to get better, and you know they're going to need to be get better. There's 20 games. You need 24 points.
Yeah, 20 games. So that would put them at 58 total. So you'd have 24 games left to go. You'd be around 60-ish points at that point. Yeah.
Shooting for what, 90?
I think 90 gives you a chance, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's got to be frustrating for the Preds, and I think we talked about this with Max a couple weeks ago, to play in the Central.
Yeah.
Minnesota has 54 points. They are in third place. They would be winning every other division.
Well, you can still make it as a wild card. The problem is you got to play all those teams so many times.
Right.
That's the issue there. You know, that's what's disappointing. But it's about getting in. It's about getting in and giving yourself a chance.
Colorado has 65 points in 38 games.
Didn't they start like 21-2?
They are 29-2-7 right now. Regulation losses at this point. Home, they are 16-0-2, and they've won 8 straight games.
How are they that good?
They are insane. They are 8 points up on Dallas, who would be leading every other division by 6 points.
That is crazy.
The Central is just loaded.
You know, it's amazing to me that those other two teams have so many points, knowing that Colorado's in the division.
Right. I mean, I don't know.
And they're, you know, Dallas and Minnesota, they all got to play each other.
Yes.
And so that just says they're really mopping up against everybody else.
Yeah, the Preds, no. I don't think they played Dallas very much this season, maybe once. So that's the one team in the division that you do have to see a lot.
Don't they have 2 wins against the Wild?
No, they have the one, and then they lost on the dislodged goal in overtime.
Oh, yeah, that was terrible.
Unless maybe they beat them at home, I don't know. But
terrible call.
Yes, they beat them the other day in overtime up there in Minnesota.
That was a good win.
Yes, it was. That was one of those where I looked on the road trip and said, you may not get that one, but you got to get some of the other ones. And again, they play Vegas coming up. Yes, after a nice run from Iowa. That's Keanu Coote. The Alabama transfer getting a sack there for Vanderbilt. So Commodores trailing 7-0 out there in Tampa, but it's a 2nd and long coming up here for Iowa. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Preds playing later on this afternoon, 2:00, their puck drop out there in Vegas, first of a back-to-back against Vegas and Seattle. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got a couple more segments here on the show. We'll get back into the Titans on the other side as they get ready for their season finale against Jacksonville on Sunday.
Oh, no.
And Iowa just almost made it 14-0.
They missed a tackle. They're in trouble.
And that's twice now that Vanderbilt has missed a tackle. It's led to a big play.
They're in trouble.
Iowa setting up first and goal late in the first quarter. 615-737-1025. We'll take a quick break. Be right back. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Couple more segments. We're going to talk some Titans, but another update down there in Tampa. Vandy catching a huge break, making a big play in the end zone. Iowa had a wide-open touchdown, goes off the receiver's fingertips. Then Brian Longwell tips it to Martell Height for an interception. But Vanderbilt did just go three and out. Another third-down sack on Diego Pavia.
He is finding these Iowa linebackers to be maybe a little quicker than he expected.
Yeah. He also almost threw a pick on first down, too.
Yeah, and so Iowa's definitely got the game going in their direction. And, you know, if you've been watching bowl season at all, you learned that the Big Ten might be a little bit better than you thought.
Yeah, I Dr. Locke called in yesterday and was telling us how wrong we were about the SEC and the Big Ten, and so far the SEC has not backed it up very well. So 7-0 Iowa, 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and again, live coverage over on 94.9 The Fan. Back to the Titans.
Okay.
Season finale coming up on Sunday.
A brutal assignment.
Yes. Jacksonville playing for the division, and we talked about before we went on air that Jacksonville can be anywhere from the one seed to the seven seed.
That's crazy.
With the exception of the four seed, which is reserved for the AFC
And they've
North
won
champ.
Seven in a row.
Right. They're are they 13-3? No, they're 12-4.
12-4.
12-4.
Yeah, they were 5-4.
They could be as high as the one seed if Denver and New England lose and Jacksonville wins, but they could be as low as the seven seed if they lose and Buffalo, LA, and Houston win. So Jacksonville, if you talk about something to play for other than it being winning in, they have the most to play for that you could have as a team that knows they're in the playoffs. So I don't see the Titans winning, but
no.
You're obviously looking to see the continued growth of a lot of your young players. Cam Ward, obviously, you'd like to see him have a good finish to his rookie season, take some momentum into the offseason. But I wanted to bring up Femi Oladejo again.
Okay.
He has been designated to return for about 2 weeks now. I'd like to see him back out there on the field.
Do you really want to risk him on the last game of the year?
That's the question I wanted to ask you is, do you find it more valuable for him to get back on the field, gain some confidence, not end his season with an injury, or do you wrap him in bubble wrap and say, hey, we'll see you in 2026?
It's one game. It's one game. I mean, look, if you could have played him the last three,
right,
I would have said get him out there and let him get some snaps. It's one game. You know, if you play him one game, what's he going to play, 15 snaps?
Yeah, you're not going to run him out there and have him be a three-down guy.
Yeah. Now, like, I think Arden left last game. So
that sounds right. So we'll get the injury report coming up today.
If Arden is questionable to play, then maybe that changes it a little bit. Maybe you need him numbers-wise. I don't know. But, like, right now, I wouldn't risk it just for one game. Number one, because I couldn't expect him to play all that well.
No.
And you know, there's nothing to build off of. There's not another game. He's gotten to practice.
Yeah.
And so he's gotten to go out there and do that. That's great. I wouldn't do it for one game.
I guess my thought is just to not have the last game experience of his rookie season be breaking his leg, right?
Yeah.
Like, to have him come back, and even if it is just 15 snaps, get back out there and feel like he's ending his rookie season on the uptick.
Mm-hmm.
But is that worth it to possibly have him get re-injured, miss the offseason, which is going to be crucial for him to develop and try and be one of your starting pass rushers next year?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think the return outweighs the risk, okay?
Yeah.
I think the risk is higher than the return. You saw him play Jalen Armour Davis, who was struggling with an Achilles for weeks.
Right.
He gets out there, it's blown up. And, like, I know he's not long-term future of this team, but, you know, that's what you risk. The Colts played Daniel Jones with a broken leg, and look what happened to him.
That is true.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I know if he's healthy enough to practice, he's probably healthy enough to play. But if he was truly healthy enough to play, he would have been out there last week.
Yes. And I'm with you. I lean that he's probably not going to be out there. But you head into this offseason, if Emi doesn't play, with just a whole lot of question marks about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got five day one and two picks from the last 2 years, and you can't confidently say you feel good about any of them. I don't know if you feel bad about any of them necessarily, but are you sure about J.C. Latham? Are you sure about Tavondre Sweat? Obviously, you're not sure about Cam Ward yet. And then Femi and Kevin have been hurt most of their rookie season. So those are the guys that you've taken early in drafts the last 2 years that are expected to be what brings this team back. You're going to need to see a lot from all of them next season.
Well, I think you're feeling a lot better about J.C. Latham.
I agree with that.
You know, he responded. Because like we were pretty hard on him about a month. We were talking about right guard a month ago.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we weren't the only ones. And so you're feeling a lot better about him. You know, Tavondre had a lot that derailed him to start the season. He had the oblique injury. You know, his tonsils out. Now we're at a point where he should be free from all that.
But, and he has flashed at times.
He's basically a run stopper.
Right.
Okay. And
no, I agree.
And you want a little bit more from him. You don't need him to be a 10 sack guy, but you need him to probably be a 4 to 6 sack guy. And what does he have, one this year?
He has two.
Oh, he's two?
Okay.
Well, if he gets two on Sunday, then he's right there.
There we go. Yeah. Let's see. Tavondre Sweat this season has two sacks.
Two sacks, yeah. I'd like to see his number between 4 and 6. Well, obviously over would be great, but if he's between 4 and 6 every year, I'd probably be pretty good with that.
Yeah, two sacks, only 4 tackles for loss, though. I think you'd like to see more of that.
I would like to see more of that. So you think he can be a contributor for your team, but you'd like to see him be more of a dominant player for your team. I think that is safe to say. I think you're encouraged by Cam Ward. Like, you know he's your starter next year.
Right, and you're seeing the growth. Yeah. I went through yesterday, and I guess I can get your thoughts on this being a resident Bears fan. So I saw stats that were posted on Twitter earlier this week of Cam Ward stats since Brian Callahan got fired.
Okay.
So the last 10 games, and those were extracted out to a 17-game schedule.
Mm-hmm.
His stats are almost identical to Caleb Williams.
That's amazing.
Caleb Williams had 100 more yards and one more interception, but both had 20 touchdowns, and their passer rating was separated by 0.4. So it's if you're looking at just since Callahan got fired, Cam Ward has basically had the same rookie season as Caleb Williams. I know you can't just erase those 6 games, but it shows you that a leap is – you can make a leap from year one to year two with what we've seen from Cam Ward this season.
Now, what he does not have is 6 game winning drives. Because Caleb has shown the ability to drive the team with the game on the line and go win it.
Yeah.
So that is one thing he does not have. But he also doesn't have DJ Moore, Robo Dunze, Luther Burden, Cole Kmet, Colston Loveland. These guys are all first, second round draft picks.
Right.
And that's who he's throwing to. And
sorry, this is from Caleb Williams' stats last year.
Oh, from
his rookie season. That was the point I was trying to make, is that everybody's talking about Cam Ward like he's had this horrible rookie season.
Okay.
If you look at the stats, since Callahan got fired, it's almost identical.
Well, look,
Caleb Williams.
And Caleb Williams' rookie season was a little concerning. You know, as a Chicago fan, like I made no question, I think he is a generational arm talent. And I thought, you know, I felt very good when they drafted him. There was no question he was the guy I wanted as a Bears fan. And, you know, there was plenty I saw where I'm like, okay, this is good, but the 68 sacks was terrible.
Yeah.
There was way too much hanging onto the football. And to see how much Ben Johnson has coached him up in 1 year has really been incredible. And like I said, they had some weapons around him last year, but the offensive line wasn't as good. The coaching was not as good last year.
Right.
I mean,
for sure.
But what
did Ben
Johnson do to help Caleb?
He put in a run game.
The interior of the offensive line, too.
And they run the hell out of the football, and that's kind of what Mike McCoy has done.
Yeah.
Run the football. Would you say the interior offensive line has been much better since Mike McCoy took over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, Peter Skoronski, he may not be a Pro Bowler, is playing at a Pro Bowl level. There's no question about that. Lloyd Cushenberry has played his best football. Kevin Zeitler, up and down, but definitely playing better than he did the beginning of the season. So, you know, those two things help out your young quarterback. You know, I may have said this. No, we didn't have a show last week.
No, we did not.
So somebody, I saw this on Twitter. and it made me want to rip my head off and punt it onto Murfreesboro Road. Somebody tweeted out, enough with the run plays, throw the football. This is supposed to be about Cam Ward. I'm tired of watching the handoffs. And I immediately wrote to him. I said, running the football is about Cam Ward. It is not coincidence that he has two touchdown passes, four straight games now, since they have committed to running the football. It has made him a more effective, better quarterback. It has made his job easier to do, and Diego Pavia just got sacked again by another linebacker.
Yep.
They have got their hands full. But, you know, so that run game, you know, is all about helping develop Cam Ward. I mean, it is, and he's a better quarterback since then. Like you're talking about, you know, his numbers the second half of the season, way better than the sack right. numbers are way down.
55 sacks. I want to say he had 30 through like the first six games of the season.
But is it like, how many did he have last week? Two?
Two, I want to say.
But I think he's got like five sacks in like the last four games.
Something like that. Yeah. That sounds right.
That is a manageable number. That's a number any team would take. And, you know, before we were just hoping to, you know, five sacks in a game. Oh, great. That's progress.
Yeah, they were averaging four or so through the first month and a half of the season. So, and again, you're right. Like, Caleb Williams did not come out of his rookie season devoid of blame. Like, Cam Ward, there is plenty of concern after his rookie season, but I think what he's done over the last month and a half or so makes you feel good that he's progressing, and if he can take a jump with better coaching and better weapons around him, that he can look like a franchise quarterback next season.
Woo. Diego just took a shot right to the face.
Yes, he did.
And they called it.
They did call it. Diego hit Richie Hoskins for about a 10-yard gain. They'll get 15 more on top of it.
I think this one's going to get spicy before it's over.
It does seem like there's a there's a lot of juice on both sides.
Iowa message board's been talking, man.
This thing is spicy.
They're ready to go. They're fired up.
I think I could. Yeah, I mean, I could see this thing getting heated down the stretch.
Vanderbilt cross midfield once again. Early second quarter, trailing 7-0. We got one more segment on this Wednesday. We'll wrap up the show after this. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 102.5 The Game. Finishing up the show here on New Year's Eve, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody has a safe and fun New Year's tonight. We will not have a show tomorrow. We will be back on Friday to wrap up the week, recap some of these college football playoff games, and again, get ready for Titans and Jaguars in the regular season finale on Sunday. Another update down there in Tampa, Vanderbilt driving. It is going to be about 3rd and 5, it looks like, in the red zone. Mid second quarter, Vanderbilt down 7-0, but trying to even things up. It's been an Iowa type game so far.
They are in Iowa's world right now. I mean, it is fast and it is physical and it is defensive, and you're kind of going 6 yards at a time.
Right.
And I would say it's 3rd and 6. If they don't get this, they need to take the 3 points.
I agree. I think you take your points here. Vandy does get the ball to start the second half, so maybe a chance to double up if you can get a stop on the other side. 3rd and 7, it is down, almost intercepted. I would expect they send the field goal unit out here. We'll let you know if they knock it through. Chase and Big Joe are coming up after us for an hour, and then at 1 o'clock it'll be Preds pregame coverage as the Predators are taking on Vegas. 2 o'clock puck drop out there in Sin City. But we do have a big game tonight, Miami-Ohio State. First college football playoff quarterfinal.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one. Miami, talented enough to compete with Ohio State. Well, I think that's for sure.
You've got to think they pick up some momentum, too, after winning at Texas A&M.
Right.
That's an impressive win. It may not have been the prettiest thing in the world. Vanderbilt's on the board after a Brock Taylor field goal. 7-3. That was the right choice. I think Miami opened some eyes with that win, but at the same time, it raised some eyebrows at Texas A&M because we said they didn't play the toughest SEC schedule.
Yes.
And it showed.
The only team they played in the top half of the SEC standings was Texas, and they lost that game.
Yes.
So Miami was able to grind that one out. I think this is going to be another low-scoring game. Both these defenses are really good.
Yeah, but I think Ohio State's is better.
Yes, and their offense is better, too. Yeah. And I trust Julian Sayin not to make the big mistake.
Yeah.
I don't trust Carson Beck. I'm going to go Ohio State, but Miami, you do look, they've got first-round talent on both sides of the ball. Yeah. Reuben Bain and I'm blanking on the other pass rusher they've got who is great against A&M. Parker, help me out here. Other pass rusher for Miami besides Reuben Bain?
Akeem Mezidore.
Mezidore, yes. On that side of the ball, you got Malachi Toney on the other side. Mark Fletcher at running back. It's a good Miami team. I think this will be a fun one. And I've said it earlier this week, if you're a Titans fan looking for guys who might be on the Titans coming up next year, yep, there are some options in this game.
Well, Arvell Reese, another one.
Arvell Reese, Carnell Tate.
Yep. And so the question, you know, here's the thing is, like, everybody is wondering, can Ohio State flip the switch like they did last year? I mean, right. They only lost one game, and that was at the very end to Indiana.
And it's the same, same thing as last year. Yeah. They lost their last game of the regular season.
But, I mean, they got to the playoffs, and they were clearly better than everyone else.
I mean, they went to the, they went and played number one Oregon, who was undefeated, and just ran them off the field.
Yeah, it was over at halftime. It was over at halftime.
Yeah, it was like 28-0 at halftime or something like that.
And so that's, you know, that's kind of what we wonder. You know, are they gonna punch Miami in the mouth, and is it going to be 24-3 at the break?
And I could totally see that happening.
Yeah.
I think Miami's defense is good enough that they could stay in this game, and if they do, anything can happen. But Ohio State's the most talented team left in the field.
Yeah.
And we will see what happens tonight. Tomorrow, three more games: Oregon, Texas Tech, down in Miami.
That's interesting.
That one. It could be a really fun game. Texas Tech's defense is good. Oregon coming off the win against James Madison, so they don't have the rust that they did last year. Indiana and Alabama. I'm excited for that one out in the Rose Bowl.
I just think Indiana doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately that's what will decide that game, is they will make fewer mistakes. And Alabama, I hate to say, will lose the game. Alabama's got more talent.
There's no doubt about it. No question.
Now, saying that, I'm not a huge Fernando Mendoza guy. I don't think Mendoza's going to run up and down the field in Alabama. I don't think so. I could be wrong. He can prove me wrong. That's fine. But I don't view him as the difference in the football game.
No.
I view the coaching of Indiana, all right?
Yeah, the consistency of Indiana.
Yeah, versus the talent at Alabama. Which has shown out at times, but then at times it hasn't because they've got three losses.
Right. Yeah, and you look at their losses, a lot of it was just they made too many mistakes. They had the Oklahoma game, they dominated that game in the regular season, but they turned the ball over three times, and Oklahoma won the game. Yeah. You know, you lose 28-7 to Georgia in the SEC championship game. I do wonder, did they get their swagger back a little bit coming back from down 17-0 against Oklahoma?
But, yeah, that was surprising.
But I said yesterday I lean Indiana in that game, although I think that's the one I feel the shakiest about. I think that one could go either way.
Well, it's because we talk about the talent. You don't know, is the talent going to show through? Because, I mean, like with Ohio State last year, they had more talent than everybody.
Yes, that was the most expensive roster in college football.
And when they put it all together and you saw that talent on display, it was like, whoa. And so can Alabama do that? Can that talent – because if that talent shows through, they're going to win.
Right.
They've got more. Now they haven't played like that always. You know, if they played like they played against Auburn, they're going to lose, and probably pretty easily. So, you know, what are they going to get? I agree with you. I think winning last week helps.
Yep.
You know, number one, they're still alive, but number two, okay, we won a playoff game. Hey, we're just as in this thing as everybody else. So we'll see.
College football playoff quarterfinals start tonight. You can listen into Miami and Ohio State right here on 102.5 The Game after the Preds and Golden Knights, which again is coming up at 2:00. Corey, always a pleasure having you in. Hope you have a very happy new year. We'll talk to you next week.
You know, I like you, Jake, but I'm not going to come and see you until 2026.
You know what? That's fine. Let's give it till next year.
All right.
That'll do it for us. Chase and Big Joe are coming up. They're leading you straight into Preds pregame coverage. And again, Vanderbilt and Iowa over on 94.9 The Fan. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.